Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you that this morning we can stand in awe because of Jesus, what you've done on the cross for each one of us. Thank you that we have the privilege to share the power, the victory of the cross and the resurrection power that you left with each one of us. And Jesus, this morning we want to come to you and we want to ask you that we as a church will embrace you more and that we will become less, that your power will flow through us and that we will experience your apostolic anointing upon our lives to do the things that the apostles did. Father, this morning I want to pray for each person being here, that you will this morning come and speak into their hearts, into their spirits. Father, to embrace the promises that you have for their lives. Give us the keys, Father, to really understand the things that you are doing in and through our lives so that we will be able to unlock the doors and, Father God, the gates, the entry points, Father God, into 2014, Father, to really do your will. And Father, I pray for each person here this morning that they will be challenged in their hearts to receive you more, to become more like Christ, and to fulfill the commission that you've given to each one of us in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to thank you again for coming. You know what's so precious for me? Just watching the TV these few days during the holiday, just to see actually so many giants, you know, at this stage passing away and amazing stuff happening all over the world. And I've got an expectation for 2014. And I want to speak about just an apostolic culture this morning that I believe that God really wants to impart into the church, into the people of God. Because it's not about just churchianity, but it's about a culture that we embrace to fulfill the commission that God has given us. And you know what? A few weeks ago, I think it was even about a month ago, they had Billy Graham on TV, and he was speaking on his 95th birthday. And he was speaking to about 800 people being the guests at his birthday. And you know what was so awesome is to see the man and the fervency to still proclaim the gospel like he did when he was 20 years old. You know, it was so amazing to see the old man sitting in a wheelchair. He cannot really speak. It's really difficult for him to convey any words. But the one thing that he could get out of his mouth is that the cross will set America free. The only thing that he had to say to America when they asked him, listen, what do you think is the solution to the problems that America is facing? Because you are certainly the reverend, the pastor of the state's presidents. And he said, the only thing that I can say to America is turn back to the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, and it was so beautiful. It was such a beautiful picture to me about the apostolic anointing, the amazing ability to live like the apostles of the new church, the New Testament church. I want to quickly read Romans 8 verse 23, very well-known scripture. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly, listen to this, as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in the hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You know, Paul is saying that the whole creation is waiting for the sons of God. And you know what? The sons of God groan within their spirits to say, God, come back. Jesus, come back so that you can get your bride. So that we can actually experience eternity. You know, about 100 years ago, more than 100 years, the beginning of the 20th century, amazing thing happened in Azusa Street, the Pentecostal revival. And I don't think a lot of us, with especially our South African background, know how significant it was what happened when Pentecost was really happening at Azusa Street, and the Holy Spirit fell on people and they started to speak in tongues, and the gifts were operating just after the 1900s. And guys like Seymour and so many others, Parham, started to really operate as apostles of the time. A time really of difficulty, because I can tell you, if I can just take you a little bit into history, they went through a lot of hardship to proclaim the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit at work in the times that we are living. A lot of them lost their families. They went through a lot of persecution because people said, "You guys are crazy." But they stuck to the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit to really impart the gifts into people's lives and to experience the gifts operating. And then you see the picture happening all over the world where people started to embrace the power of God and the gifts manifested through their lives. And here in America at this time, there was an expectation, a fervent expectation of Jesus to return back to the church and Jesus coming in their lifetime. And then here in the 1960s, or especially 1948 with Israel, there was a fervent expectation that Jesus would return. Why? Because there's a lot of prophecies and a lot of speculation about the return of Jesus Christ, but I can say to you one thing is true, that God has a plan with Israel. And that is none of our business. But one thing that we do know about Israel is that God's plan and timing is certainly true to them, because he said, "I will give you back your nation." And so there was a really heart cry from the people all over the world and Christians favoring Israel and saying, "Listen, we can see what's happening because Jesus is returning." You know, Paul, throughout his epistles, made it very clear. And I think we don't even understand the significance of the Hebrew culture, because the whole expectation of Israel, of the Hebrews, was that God's presence will come back to his people. And the prophecies of old in Micah and so many others said that it will come through the Messiah's coming. And then they will receive power, like it stated in Joel. But with this, we see this expectation in Paul's heart when he writes Romans 8, and he says, the sons of God has an expectation for God to manifest himself all over the world, so that things will change, so that the power of God will be known to mankind, so that we can say that we now already receive the first fruits of things to come, that we already have a portion of eternity, of heaven, in our hearts, in our lives right now. But you know what? We so easily deny the power of God and the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, because we don't understand what Paul is saying when he says, listen, there's an apostolic mandate that God has given me. There's an apostolic expectation in the New Testament church that Jesus will return and we will see great things happening. And it's with that expectation that people from Azusa Street started to build the sanctuary and saying, listen, Jesus, Maranatha, Jesus come. And then you see, yeah, in the 1960s, another picture of the prosperity movement. And sorry, I must give you some background in history. In the 1960s, you see this picture of a lot of the sons and daughters of parents that really worked hard and went through a lot of persecution to proclaim and establish the power of God in the times that they lived. that said, listen, enough is enough. Our parents struggled so much. We just want to see the blessings of the gospel, in which is true, but it's just a portion of the full picture. And they proclaimed in the 1960s the prosperity that if you serve God, then God is always with you and God will bless you. But we know that that is true. But it's through the valleys and on the mountains. Wherever we go, we experience in our hearts the kind of contentment of God at work in our lives. And Paul is saying, you know what? It's not about what we, the possessions that we have. It's not about the things that we receive when we serve God. But it's the mighty manifestation of God's power and presence in our lives that makes the whole difference. And therefore, we see at the end of the previous century, a turn where people actually come to realize that there's a responsibility that comes with receiving the gospel. A responsibility to actually say, listen, yes, there's a lot of blessings that comes with, in the natural, that comes with serving God. But there's a responsibility on our behalf to really see the kingdom come. And then we see on the turn of the 21st century, we see the charismatic, but I don't want to give them all of the credit. I want to say that it's more of an apostolic anointing, because I can tell you it's not about the charismatic church or about what church at this stage is making it. It's about an apostolic heart that God is manifesting in all churches all over the world. It depends on the culture that you embrace. Now I want to quickly read this to you about this Pentecostal contribution. This has a powerful implication for the church as an eschatological community, living a life of future characteristics that resembles God Himself in the present age. The word apostolic or apostle is a transliteration of the word apostolos, which means one who is sent out with a commission, with a power to personally represent the one sending him. And then, I quickly want to read this about Luther. Luther, through the Reformation, rejected the church structure to officiate apostles, but recognized the apostolic as those who do what the apostles did. And this is the first thing that I want to mention about the apostolic culture, is that we do what the apostles of old did. Now, this is important to know, because this is a life of expectation, of disciple making, of planting, of seeing things coming to fruition. And that is what I really want to pray for 2014 for each one of you. That expectation will be in our hearts, that God will manifest Himself around us and in our communities. There was three things that marked the New Testament believers. The first one, recognition of their inability to fulfill God's promises without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Nothing that they did was without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And you see this beautiful picture of, you know, Peter walking to the synagogue, and then there he would find a person begging him for healing. And then he says, silver or gold I do not have, but that which I have I will give you. Be healed. A beautiful picture of doing exactly what the Holy Spirit expects them to do. Another one is the expectation that the Holy Spirit would fall down and manifest God's presence through signs and wonders, accompanied by manifestation of speaking in known and unknown tongues, power of God on earth as a foretaste of how things will be in heaven one day. They had an expectation that being empowered by God means that we will actually see the giftings of God manifested all around us. And then the third thing, a desperate urgency regarding the second coming of Christ in their lifetime. You know, in the New Testament church, they made sure to remind themselves and one another about the fact that Jesus comes back by greeting one another in saying, Maranatha, which means until Jesus comes. Let Jesus come. Jesus come. Jesus come. Reminding each other that, listen, Jesus is coming. Make right your life before God. And then reminding their friends that, listen, let's talk about the virgins standing at the door waiting for the bridegroom. And then there were some foolish virgins that actually didn't have oil when the bridegroom came to the door. And they missed the whole celebration. And I can tell you, you know what, in the time that we are living, I'm so excited because I can see people that is excited about God. I can see that all over the world, wherever we go, you know, sitting at Hermanus there, watching people, you know, sitting and looking at the coast-to-coast team, I could just see that a lot of those people are actually Christians that celebrates the fact that people can still, in a public place, sing gospel songs. Proclaim the gospel. Do an altar call in front of thousands of people because it matters. There was one lady that said to my wife, you know, she's from Joburg, and she said, you know, it's just awesome to sit here and to actually see that there's still churches that is really interested in proclaiming the gospel and use every opportunity to tell people about God. And that excited me because I know that we are not the only ones. I know that God is busy raising up an apostolic generation to do mighty exploits for God that we haven't seen before. And Jesus said that that will happen before his return. And therefore, I can tell you that an apostolic anointing is focusing on the bigger picture, because sometimes the church is so focused on the minor issues that they don't get to what is most important. I've seen this in our married life and in so many other couples. You know, when you have a covenant relationship, when the hearts are not connected, that you start to struggle about nonsense and issues the whole time because your hearts are not connected. The fact that, you know what, when you live in one house, you start to make rules if the hearts are not connected. All kinds of issues to be dealt with, and it's easier to make a rule than to sort it out in relationship, isn't it so? Is there any married people here this morning that can associate with that? And if you don't stop it, at the end you will have your side of the bed and she will have her side of the bed. And you will have your part of the house and she will have her part of the house, because it's much easier to draw the boundaries than to really connect in heart. Isn't it so? And I can tell you, that's why Jesus is speaking in Revelations to the church of Ephesus, and he says to them, return back to your first love. You know why? Because you are doing a lot of stuff. You've got a lot of ideas, but you focus on the minors. You focus on the issues rather than to focus on the things that matters the most. And I can tell you, an apostolic church is a church that has a vision. And I want to remind you, just for the people of this church this morning, I want to tell you, there's a vision. We want to reach generations and nations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. That is the vision that God has placed before us, and we tirelessly work at that. We focus on the things that matters most, and we say, listen, God, we want to do the things that's important to you and for this church, the command that you've given to us. And then very important about doing what the apostles did was the Ephesians 4:18 principle. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint in which it's equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And I can tell you, one of the signs of an apostolic church is the one who understands the fivefold ministry to work together. And I have not seen this yet. Because we get so fascinated in certain areas of ministry that now we focus on the prophetic, then we focus on the evangelist, then we focus on the age that we are moving into. God is expecting us to understand the team dynamic of working together. That actually each one of us can make our contribution and see the mighty manifestation of God. I want to just read this to you. Apostolic churches train leaders on future prophetic in order to be obedient now. I want to just read it again. Apostolic churches train leaders on future, listen to this, future prophetic in order to be obedient now. They focus on the future and what God is saying to us in the future so that we can align ourselves to do what God is asking us to do. Traditional churches focus on past experience to define actions of the now. People, if I read Revelations 2 and 3, it says that Jesus will walk along the lampstands and some will even be removed. And this morning I want to say to you, you know what? The charismatic church is becoming as traditional as any other traditional church. And I'm not today fighting against a traditional church, because there's a lot of traditional churches that's more fired up than any charismatic or Pentecostal church. But I can tell you this morning, the choice will be within the church to have the fervency and the desire to have Christ as Lord and the focus of the kingdom. The fact that you and I must understand that God is saying to us, I've got great plans to prosper you. I've got great plans ahead of you. I want to read this as well. Traditional churches are heritage-driven, whilst apostolic teachers are vision-driven. We sometimes are so focused on the traditional things, on the things that we know is working, that we forget that God has a plan for us for the future. We're so fascinated about playing it safe. I was just listening to the cricket team, and a lot of you will have a lot of opinions of why did they not in the first test against India go for the win. And I can tell you it's because of a lack of apostolic understanding. Because you don't go and you don't settle to be equal. You focus on what you've set your minds to. You know, and I want to say to you, people of God, we are playing it so safe and we are so afraid that we might lose the battle that we are not fighting in the battle. We are missing the battle altogether. And the devil is winning it. I'm just shocked, and I said it the previous time that I preached, driving through Hermanus the other day, seeing that the synagogue was bought by Muslims so that they can make a mosque of it. And I can tell you that's happening all over this country, because they've got a vision. They've got a plan to penetrate every community and make sure that they take the best buildings in the midst of societies. And if I look at it, I think, you know, this is so strategic. It's not even spiritual. And I can tell you, as Christians, we must have the urgency in our hearts to know that Jesus is coming back. We are fighting about minors and not getting to the important things. Apostolic church planting means aggressive outreach to a hurting community. My heart just breaks about what happened yesterday in the Clutersville church. A lot of them went to the beach, and one of the guys actually passed away. He drowned when they went to the beach. So sad. My heart is crying with them. You know why? Because God is raising up an army and the devil is stealing from us. Guys that were so fixed to tuck and all kinds of drug issues. And we see the deliverances. We see the amazing manifestations of God in their midst, in their lives. We must pray. We must be fervently excited about what God is busy doing. Then, if we want to be apostolic, we must be ascending church. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Receiving the commission to go to the ends of the earth. It says, go therefore and make disciples. Not go and I will make the disciples for you. Not go and I will send already raised up disciples. You teach them. You raise them up. You go to the ends of the earth. And then Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall it saltless be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. People, can I say a very radical thing this morning? We are not into churchianity. We are not in societies, in communities, because it's nice to plant a church. We are there, we are in Stellenbosch, because we want to be the light of this world. And I want to ask you this morning, how much of the light are we really to the communities that we are living in? Because Jesus says, you know what? You don't keep the light out of the darkness. If it shines, it shines, and it takes away all darkness. And I want to challenge you, and I want to say, wherever you come from, this morning maybe you're from another town, I want to ask you to go back to your town and to really be the salt, to really see communities being changed. Stop your boxing yourself in now I do church and now I do work. Apostolic lifestyle is a lifestyle. It means that me and my wife must say to one another, listen, this is not a church thing that we are doing. Everything that we do because Christ lives in us. When we're there having holiday, we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We get people to come to us, to come and experience the blessing of having a nice braai with us. And we speak about Christ. And I want to encourage you people, it's time to have the apostolic fervency of Jesus coming back. We must have the ability to really multiply disciples in the times that we are living in. People, I want to ask you this morning, I had a guy fighting with me a lot and saying to me, yeah, you know what? But my kingdom is the business that I'm working at, and I'm building a kingdom for God. And I said to him, yes, it's fine, but I want to know from you, how many disciples did you make the last 5 years? Because if you didn't, I've got a problem with your kingdom. And I want to ask you this morning, you know what? Christ has set before us the ability to multiply the goodness, the faithfulness, the grace that He imparted into our lives. If you don't have grace in your life this morning, I'm concerned, and I want to ask you to actually, afterwards, come forward and to really embrace such a promise. To say, God, I want to have the light within me and I want to multiply that light, because you can only multiply that which you receive. A city on a hill. Taking ownership of the vision. A lady came to me the other day and she said to me, you know what, Pastor, I'm so concerned because my pastor, you know, he does not worry anything about the kiddies church, and we are always struggling to get the kiddies church to be a priority in church. And I was listening to her whole story and I said to her, you know what, if you're an apostolic person, I want to tell you that that will not happen while you are in charge of the kiddies church. Are you with me this morning? It's not the pastor's fault. Did you not receive the mandate to do the kiddies church? Go to the pastor. Be in his ear the whole day. Ask him for a budget to buy stuff for the kiddies church or whatever. But you don't stop until you see kiddies getting saved. But take the mandate. Take ownership. Do whatever is necessary. You will only be given authority to the extent of the accepting responsibility. Because if you're faithful with the least, God will entrust more unto you. And then, a giving church. A church that is not just focused on their own needs. A people that is not focused just on their own needs, but on how they can bless other people. And how they can bless people beyond their sphere of influence even. Because I can tell you, churches that grow, people that grow, is people that gives. That's got a willingness to give sacrificially beyond their own ability. Not a bless me syndrome, but actually to say, God, I really am so blessed that you blessed me to be a blessing to other people. And then, collective maturity. I'm ending off with this. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You know, there's a collective calling that God is asking us to really fight for, to really see His kingdom come. The fact that He's called us collectively as a body to know that each one of us can just bring our own contribution. The small little thing that we can give, but He wants us to really fight against the darkness together. And therefore, I want to say this morning to you, apostolic culture is when unity plus gifts brings you growth. The gifts God will impart into our lives and will give us His power. If we ask and we have an expectation for the Holy Spirit to move, He will move. But the unity is something that we must fight for. When it comes to an apostolic church, I want to say to you this morning, God is asking his children to unite themselves to really, in this 2014 year, to really stand together against the onslaught of the enemy. I want to conclude this morning and say to you, the sad reality, if I look at South Africa and about this nation, and just looking at the times that we are living in, one of the most difficult things that we will have to face in the year coming is the one of materialism. The fact that we as societies are so fixed on our comfort that we don't focus on things that matters most. The apostolic urgency, God says to the Church of Smyrna, I love you, Church of Smyrna. Why? Because possessions counts nothing to you. You've given up all of those things, but you follow me with all of your heart. And I can tell you, as a Church of God, in the times that we are living, there must be an expectation for God to manifest himself in our midst again. Matthew 25, verse 6. But at midnight there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since they will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. I am not a doom prophet this morning. I know one thing, and I can tell you that this year coming will be a challenging one materialistically for each one of us. Already heard that consumables will, within the next year, be 20% more than the year before. That banks already are planning to rise the lending percentage. And if you look at the political climate, it's not looking better. But what I can tell you is that God is doing awesome stuff in our midst. And if I look at the climate that's being created at this stage, I can tell you that it's time for Christians to really become true Christians. Apostolic Christians, sending Christians. And I want to remind you about the three things that mark the church in the New Testament. They did not do anything without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, they experienced the fullness, the giftings, operating in and through their lives through signs and wonders, and also through the speaking of known and unknown tongues. And thirdly, there was an urgency in their hearts that Jesus will return soon. Church of God, I want to say to you this morning, if I look at guys like Billy Graham and so many others, at this stage in my life, and I'm still a young man, if I look at an old man, 95 years old, and still he is proclaiming the gospel as when he was 20 years old, when he received Christ, I know that there's something going. And I can tell you, I've got respect for that. Any person serving the Lord Jesus Christ with such fervency when they're that age gives me respect for them. But I want to ask you this morning, let's stand quickly. I want to ask you this morning. And this is a challenge. If the worship team can just quickly come to the front. This is an actual challenge for 2014. Christ loves us. I can tell you, it's just awesome, 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 awesome to see the love of God portrayed to man in this time that we are living. It's awesome. The cross of Jesus Christ must be the center of our lives. I just so love the song that you guys sang previously today. Christ, the center. Christ, the focus. After a challenging year like this, I can tell you, I must repent before God and just say again, God, I must be honest. Many times I'm focusing on the minor things rather than on the things that matters most. Give me a heart again for your kingdom, for the promises that you have for this generation. Now, I was thinking just yesterday, watching the cricket. Now, some of you won't relate because you don't watch that silly game. But just listening to how they are talking about Jock Cullis now, the king of cricket. How great this guy was and is. And even Mandela and all. And I'm just thinking, at least this man is leaving a legacy. God, I want to leave a legacy that really will be of your kingdom coming. Of Christ centered within me and people can see that. Christ in me and people can experience the fullness of Christ through my life. Being the light of this world. Not Hercules. Not me. But Jesus, you shining through me. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning, we celebrate your love. We celebrate the fact that, Father, we are moving into awesome times. Challenging, but so awesome, Father, because we can tell ourselves this morning that we want to be apostolic in heart. We want to again get excited about the things that the New Testament church got excited about. We are breaking our heads about, Father, becoming more excellent and more glamorous, Father, as the kingdom to compete with the world. And in the midst of all of this, Father, you are saying that my presence, this morning I pray that your presence will be in this place, in Jesus' name. And Father, we every head is bowed this morning and all eyes are closed. You mean business with people here this morning. And I want to ask you, the Holy Spirit, to come and speak into people's hearts. Maybe you stand here this morning. And if you're honest with yourself, you must be honest in saying that I'm not there. I don't have a fervency. I don't have a desire. But God, I want it to be restored because there was a time in my life when I would do anything for you. I would go to the ends of the earth. I would share the gospel. I will disciple people. But Father, I've lost that ability, that fervency. If that is you this morning, I want you to raise your hand where you're standing. Beautiful. Beautiful. There's more people. I want you this morning just to be honest with yourself. Because God wants to restore that in your life. God wants you to be so fervent. He wants you to be so excited about what He's doing. Beautiful. I want you to quickly come to the front. Not because I want to expose you, but because I want to pray this morning together with you that God would restore within you that desire. There was a few hands. Just quickly come to the front. If you've not raised your hand and you know that you must be here, quickly come, because there's people that's going to pray with you this morning. This has nothing to do with me praying for you. This is nothing to do with the people that want to lay hands on you. It's got everything to do with your commitment to Christ. To say, Christ, 2014 will be a different year. Is there any more people? Then this morning, if you're here, and I want to ask you all to keep your eyes closed. If you're here, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're just going through life trusting your own instincts, doing your own thing, and you don't want to have anything to do with the church because you are always just criticizing the church. And this morning, I want to say to you, you know what? The church is not perfect. There's a lot of things that I don't like about the church as well. But I love the church because Christ is in the church and He loves His church. And this morning, I want to just say to you, all those things aside, be honest with yourself. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to raise your hand where you're standing. Is there any such person? Because I want you this morning to give your heart to Jesus. Is there any such person? I actually want you to come to the front, because I want to pray with you this morning. As the people of the church, I want to just ask church members to come and pray with us here in the front. As they come to the front to come and pray, I want to ask the worship team to softly while we are just to sing that song for us again, The Center. And that this morning, we're going to trust God together with these people to really put the flame back into their hearts. But I want to encourage you this morning, as you sing, that you will make that commitment to God again. Just say, God, I want to run with you. Amen.